To be a wordsmith is defined as a person who writes, an author, a journalist, a person who commits their thoughts to paper. But I believe it is so much more. The ability to craft a story, to change lives, to transport the ordinary life to an extraordinary place, to put words on paper and awaken the imagination in ways the reader never dreamed possible. Yes, to have the ability to see what isn't there and make you see it too. To awaken the senses in new and amazing ways. To feel a cool breeze on a hot summer day on your cheeks. To smell wildflowers as they bloom. To taste a delicacy on a foreign soil. To feel like you've never felt before, touching places long forgotten. Connecting with your souls in new ways. That's what writers do. It's my pleasure to host Speaking of Writing, a new podcast. Speaking of Writing is open for authors from all over the world. This gives us an opportunity to broaden our experiences, to hear actual writers' voices, hear what inspires them, experience their trials and struggles, and realize that we all have a story, and they are all worth telling. I hope you enjoy this. This is Rose Cushing, and I am the podcast host for Speaking of Writing. Today, my guest is Ginger Booth, and Ginger has a new book, Nexus, Talking to the People. And her whole series is really, really intriguing. It really caught my eye on social media. So welcome to the show, Ginger.
Thank you for having me, Rose.
And tell us a little bit about you before we get into your books.
I'm an author. I do this full time. I have about 40 books out now, split between space science fiction and climate apocalyptic.
Awesome.
Yeah. My biggest selling series is the Thrive space opera. Basically, the setup is that Earth failed, or was failing. It didn't actually fail, it turns out, but it sent out colonies to really terrible real estate nearby because time was running out, and these colonies are not succeeding, and our heroes try to make it survivable. And eventually in the second series, they go back to Earth and find out that it's still alive.
Right.
And that's refreshing. Not only is it alive, there are, maybe 1 or 2 million people in the colonies and still billions back in the home system. And that's a problem because they're really hostile.
Oh. Okay.
But anyway, it's 200 years later in Nexus, and Earth is actually closed for renovation.
Wow.
They're trying to rebuild, restore all the ecosystems to pristine Earth. They've got all of the genomes for all of the original species provided by some aliens. They're trying to reconstruct all of the natural biomes. And there are a few people left behind,
Right.
A few by Earth standards, meaning millions instead of billions.
Wow. The whole series is so intriguing. I love space fiction. I used to be a huge fan of Star Trek and all of those kind of shows, Lost in Space when I was little.
Me too.
I love this. So what inspired you to write this particular genre?
I'd been writing the climate fiction, but it wasn't selling very well. And I decided that, I had a message that I wanted to speak, and I'd spoken it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I really wanted to do something more fun.
Okay.
And I looked around and decided that what I really wanted to do was structure something like Firefly, and I worked really hard on deciding what that meant to me. It's funny, a lot of people say that they base their stories on Firefly, and
Right.
it means something different to everyone.
A bit, yeah.
I've had people comment on my ads, well, it doesn't have a guy as the captain, so it's nothing like Firefly. It's like, that's what it meant to you. Oh, that was deep.
Okay. Well,
Okay.
everybody has an opinion, but
Everyone has an opinion. But I wanted a found family, the inner character dynamics, the ensemble cast, the relationship between these characters, and the family ship, where
right.
I wanted to be part of that crew. And I
I
wanted
got
to
you.
come back episode after episode just to hang out with these people.
Yeah, I can
And so
understand
that's
that.
what I've tried to do with my space fiction.
Because you want to fall in love with your characters.
And I think that's actually, you got to play to your strengths. And what I've heard from people is that that's my strength. I'm good at characterizations that people really connect to these people.
I think it was such a smart decision to evaluate your writing and go to a genre that would sell better, because a lot of authors get so stuck in their genre and they wouldn't even consider changing. And if you want to do this for a living, you got to make something that'll sell.
Well, and it's not as though I didn't love science fiction. Science fiction is my first love. And what I found with the climate apocalyptic was that in some sense, I was kind of going out there to argue with people. And oh, surprise, people don't want to pay you money for arguing with them.
No, they want to hear what they want to
They
hear.
want
That's true.
to,
That's
And
true.
I do too.
Right.
So that was just stupid of me. But I mean, you make mistakes when you start out.
Well, right. And when you have a lot of books out there, you can afford to speak your opinion, and because you have a following and you have an audience and you've kind of been there and done that. You have 40 books out?
Yeah,
Wow, I am
about
so
that.
jealous.
It's weird. It gets hard to count them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You wouldn't think that that was true, but it is.
Did you self-publish or do you have a traditional publisher?
They're also published.
Nice, very nice.
I read up and researched that before I started publishing and decided that self-publishing is the only way to go in science fiction. And really, all of my books are science fiction or nonfiction. I have a few nonfiction books. Mostly they're out of date.
Okay.
So
Go ahead.
Nexus.
Nexus.
Nexus. The first book is Nexus Talks to Aliens. And the latest that just came out is Nexus Talks to People, book two. This is my new series this year.
Tell me about Nexus.
Well, all of this falls on a future history. And at this point in the history of humanity, about 400 years after now, we've gotten past that bottleneck of nearly going extinct
Right.
and exploded across the galaxy. We've got 110 billion people now, spread over 650 planets. We've got a whole lot of variety going on. The population growth just exploded because the death rate went to zero.
Nice.
People have nanites, they can be 25 years old forever,
Nice. Boy, that
which
would
is,
be nice.
isn't
Yeah,
it?
I
That'd
like
be a
that
whole
place.
lot
I'm
of wish
moving.
fulfillment there, especially because most readers really are older.
That makes good sense to me to cater to the audience that you're writing for.
You're in
Love it.
perfect health. You don't have to eat carefully. Isn't
That in itself would be wonderful.
it?
Yes. All the chocolate I want.
And by now you can fly. We've got suits that you don't need to have an environment that you're not at the mercy of having air
Yeah.
that you breathe. Your suit takes care of all that.
And no
And you can
traffic.
fly and no traffic.
That would be so awesome.
Yeah. So what is your next trouble? Well, we've expanded to the point where we've met aliens in every direction. And it was okay that there were sentient aliens in the world while we were not bumping up against them, but now we are. So that's our next, humanity's next frontier is coming to terms with these aliens. The first ones we ran into are like thousands of years ahead of us in technology. They're the ones who gave us Earth's genomes back so that we could, restore the planet.
Nice.
And
I get.
Nexus, an autistic young man. And that was important to me. But he is not your typical adventurer. This is not a tough guy.
Right.
He's an ecologist restoring Earth's rodents. He loves rabbits because they have such a rewarding, cuddly shape. He's really not up to this adventure, but he doesn't think it's that big a deal because he's got a stranded robot who has like been his mentor all his life, and this poor stranded robot wants to be returned to his family in the stars. This isn't that difficult, and actually you can trade in one of your social service vouchers for a trip to the capital. And there's a little problem with smuggling the robot because the robot is forbidden on Earth, but it doesn't seem that impossible. Except he barely leaves Earth before there's an explosion on his space train that knocks him off of the track. And it's like, wow. But surely it was the aliens that someone was gunning for, not him, because he's not important.
Right, that makes sense. That's what you'd assume. I
Yeah, it's him they're gunning for. Or
bet.
actually, his robot,
Oh, wow.
who has totally forgot. I mean, the robot is senile at this point. He's lost all his memories. His processors are degrading. He's over 200 years old. The robot is just not in very good shape. And he doesn't really remember what the problem was, why he was stranded on Earth.
Right.
So it turns out to be a lot more interesting than Nexus bargained for, returning this robot to his family. And his family also, I mean, he's expecting a nice family who would, maybe help him get a job at the local whatever store. It turns out this family is actually the ambassador to the Kroc aliens.
Oh, wow.
And he lives about 100 light years that away.
Ooh, that's a pretty long walk.
It's like, wait a minute, I thought I was just going to the capital with my little tourist token. No. And
Sounds like an exciting adventure.
it's a lot of fun.
I can see myself getting lost in it real easy and just, loving it.
And that's a lot of what I was trying to do here is just, making a really rich universe tapestry. None of it is. I don't really do one evil enemy.
Right.
More characters pulling themselves up from their bootstraps with a lot of complications and a rich world to traverse and more ordinary people
That's a
with
good perspective.
extraordinary problems.
Yeah. Well, that is a rich field of imagination all on its own. And harder to figure out and put on paper than just having an evil enemy. So I applaud you for that because that makes it far more complex and interesting.
Think so. And it gives
I
a
do
lot
too.
more scope for the interpersonal relationships. And I think we're all reading books for growth. We want to see the characters grow. And they do that by bouncing up against problems and each other. And what keeps bringing us back is that we have a relationship with these characters we've met. And Nexus is an interesting character. The autistic part, my grandson was diagnosed on the autism spectrum last summer. And people talk about having a writer's block. I have a liver's block. I need to write when life is blocking me. And that really threw me for a loop when my grandson was diagnosed. He was 4 years old and not speaking yet. And then, the more I studied it, the more I realized that this didn't come out of nowhere. I'm on the autism spectrum too, maybe. Not profoundly, obviously. I've muddled through.
Well, I think it's far more common than they have any idea about, and I think their capabilities are far greater than anybody imagines. Definitely. So, as a writer, what would you say was the biggest obstacle you faced in getting a book out into the world and people to know about it?
I know nothing about, knew nothing about marketing, absolutely nothing. My previous career was software engineering in the sciences and engineering tools. Nothing about marketing. Nothing.
Well, after 40 books, you're an expert, right?
Well, no. But I'm getting better at it and I'm trying.
Marketing's hard because it changes. You know, technology advances and people are like flocks of birds. And if they're looking over here in this direction, you got to change your strategy. And then they may move over here in this direction in a blink of an eye. So it's a complicated process.
Well, but in part of that autistic spectrum myself part, I don't get it. A lot of what people are saying and what they're interested in and what they're thrilled by and what makes them buy a book and the social pressures, I don't get it.
I don't either. And you know, there's so many sources now for information that you're not catering to a large audience. You know, the pieces of pie have got cut smaller and smaller. And so you have to work a lot harder to make sure you get three or four pieces of pie and not just one, so that you have success. It's a very complicated thing.
This past year, I've been working a lot with AI tools, generative AI art. So I've amassed a big pile of artwork. Me and Midjourney talking to each other. And I think the new art is helping a lot to
Well,
make people connect to the books.
that's good.
The system before of going to stock art sites and trying to find a picture that relates to your imaginary worlds, that's really hard to do.
You're not kidding.
Whereas I can talk to Midjourney and get something custom made. I really ought to put all these pictures together, create some kind of.
Stock art is so hard. I published a book for a cowboy poet, and he wanted all the pictures to reflect the 1850s. Well, they don't exist. You might get two, but you're not going to get 15 or 20. So it's a complicated field, no doubt about it, to try to get the photos that you need to reflect what you see.
Those 1850s photos too, Every single face looks grim.
I know, and
I
mean and
don't
tired.
understand whether that was just the fashion back then, that you went through your entire life looking like death warmed over, or it
Yeah.
was just something about the technology of how you had to stand at absolutely still for 5 minutes, or what?
I know,
Those
everybody looks so
shoes.
rugged and worn, that's for sure.
But they also look just mean.
Yeah, they do. And life was hard. Maybe they were.
That could be.
True. So how can people follow you and find your books?
I have a website,
Mm-hmm.
books.gingerbooth.com. I'm on Facebook, Ginger Booth Author. I don't know if that's it. Do you know if that's case sensitive? Anyway.
I don't think so.
Okay. And then on Amazon, Amazon.com author/Ginger Booth. No punctuation in there. Those are the main three.
Do you publish just on Amazon?
For the books, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to branch out a little bit on audio, but I'm also exploring AI narrated audio to bring the cost down so that I can do the whole catalog.
Right.
So I'm exploring. I
Okay.
don't have any great verdicts yet, but I've got about half of my books available in audio now.
That's good. From people I interview, I understand audiobooks are probably 30% of their income, so I think they're very smart to do.
Well, I'm not going to get 30% of my income out of this particular AI scheme, but at least I will keep people from not reading if they're interested in audio.
Yeah. Now, the last question I have for you, if there's people out here listening who are beginner writers, what advice would you give them so they could be successful?
I think you have to do it because you need to. That if this image of being successful and replacing your $100,000 salary with writing, I've been working at this for 10 years and have 40 books out. I have not gotten to that level of success.
Right. I agree. I think that people are foolish not to identify what success means to them before
Yeah.
they start this so they can actually find it.
For me, what inspired me was I'd done all of the career stuff. I'd been a successful software engineer. I'd raised a family. I'd gotten to my 50s, and it was now my time. There's a lot of things that I did not do, and I regret not doing in terms of, doing startups during the this boom or the that boom, because that would be irresponsible as a single mom.
Sure.
Or getting a doctorate, and it's like, wait a minute, I should not be doing that as a single mom.
Right.
And then I got to the end of that. Kids grown, my time.
There you go.
What do
I
I
would be
want
right
to
there
do,
with you.
and who do I want to be? I can't hear you anymore. So I'm just babbling on. But at some level, you've got to please yourself.
Sorry.
At some level, you got to please yourself and do what you need to do. If you don't need to write, don't do it. If you're trying to do it to be rich and famous, well, good luck with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think you're going to manage it, but hey, whatever turns you on.
There you go.
I write because I needed to write. And it's just something I wanted to do all my life. And I got to the tail end of my career. And frankly, I'm bored with software engineering. I started doing it programming when I was 15 years old, 16 years old. And the more it changes, the more it stays the same. And young punks are telling me that I'm over the hill when they're just reinventing the wheel for the 20th time.
Right.
And I like to play for a living, I say. And I have been very fortunate in that I have always played for a living. I'm a workaholic and love it because I'm playing for a living.
Sure.
So if writing is not play for you, don't do it.
I agree. You have to do it because you love it.
Yeah. And I actually love making up imaginary worlds and imaginary people and sharing my imaginary friends.
Yeah, I think that's really a cool genre to write in. Now,
Yeah.
remind us where we can buy your books.
You can find me on Amazon, Ginger Booth, Amazon.com, author / Ginger Booth. My website is books.gingerbooth.com. And on Facebook, I am Ginger Booth Author.
All right. Thanks for being with us on the show today. I'm sure everybody had a nice opportunity to have a little escape this afternoon and learn about new worlds and new lives out there. So thank you, Ginger. I appreciate you being on.
Thank you so much for having me, Rose. And
And
thanks to
everybody,
everyone who came and listened.
yeah, everybody that's listening, thank you for listening as always. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Everybody has a story. Just let your mind drift away and find yours. I know it's out there. What are you waiting for?